In your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter 4. Yes. In your Bibles, I don't know if I told you where to or not. 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Let me say we did present each one of the seniors with a new Bible. When I say a new Bible, I don't mean a new version. I mean a new Bible. Amen. We want to give them a copy of the Word of God. And I know they all had a copy, but we wanted to give them one for the church on their graduation time they could remember and keep. All right. 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. Verse number 11. Verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I call your attention, please, in that verse. You're talking about if anybody minister, said, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. The ability which God giveth. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege of prayer. And thank you again today, Lord, we come together and sing praises unto you. And Lord, to give you glory. And then these precious young folk we pray for and ask you, God, as they make a step in their life. And I pray you guide them, direct them, and help them and keep them close to you. And I plead the blood of Jesus and plead your power be upon their lives for your glory. I thank you for the testimonies that have been given and giving you thanks and praise, and we join with them and thank you for answering prayer, and thank you, Lord, for all that you have done, are doing, and shall do. Then, Lord, I pray here today that you speak to every heart, every person. There are those here today that are unsaved, need to know the Lord Jesus. Those that are here today that out of the will of God, I pray for them. I pray for those who are discouraged and despondent. I pray you to help them. I pray for those who need to be challenged and stirred. Help all of us that we'll draw closer to you. And Father, that you'd have your way in our lives. Magnify yourself. Get all the glory and the praise. And I ask you now, Lord, to help us in a special way as we preach. We need that divine touch. I pray for the power of God. Illuminate our mind, loose our tongue. May we preach as that you pleased with, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want to preach today on a subject of three abilities, and we're talking about the ability here that God gives, and everybody has a different ability. But the definition of ability is power or skill or talent or mental capacity. And God gives different ones different abilities in that. And people have different skills, different things that God has given them, particularly to use in a certain place, certain manner, whatever he wants in their life. There's some people that have skills that other people don't have. And some can do things other people can't do. And that's God's ability that God gives. But there's some ability that I'm going to talk about today that turns this around and puts some responsibility upon us. And I'm thinking of these seniors. I'm thinking not only of them, but I'm thinking of everybody that's here. Now, God has given ability. We thank God for everyone who's given God given any ability. And fact is, if you have ability to do anything, it's because God gave it to you. It's not nothing about you deserve. It's just God's goodness to you. God gave you that ability. I praise him and thank him for it. But I want to talk about something else today, three things that I'll try to mention to you quickly and do that and pray that God would use it for his glory and for his honor. Let's talk about availability. Availability, that means simply capable of being used, at being at someone's disposal or something's disposal, that's being available, or being capable of being contacted. Now, in that definition, thinking about that, I began to think about being saved. Of course, any of these abilities will not apply if you're not saved. It won't apply to you. Because you're not available for God, you're not available for good unless you're saved. Amen. You must be born again. Brother Lewis is teaching this morning in Sunday school. He made a statement, just stuck in my mind. And he said, he heard it a lot years ago or something. But anyway, he said, we ought to check up, make sure we've checked in so we'll be ready to check out. I like that. Amen. We ought to check up, make sure we're saved. That's checking in. And then so we'll be ready to check out of here when it comes time to check out. We'll be ready to go. You need to be available for God. Before you'd ever be available for God to use you, you have to be available to God to save you. Now, I've even kind of agreed with this statement. Sometimes people say it, I agree with that, but up to a point. But then I got thinking about that and meditating on it. And statement is this: if God ever really convicts somebody and really shows them they're lost, and they really see themselves lost and going to hell, and they really see Jesus as a Savior, and they really realize the fact that He can and will save them, if they'll ask, if they ever really see themselves lost, they will get saved. Well, that sounds good, but it's just not true. Didn't get any amen, but anyway, true anyhow. Amen. Well, explain that, preacher. I will. I'm glad you asked me to explain because I wanted to. I realize that conviction has to be there. Everybody has to be convicted. I understand that. And you have to really see yourself going to hell. Have to really realize the fact that Jesus is a Savior. We must really have all of that. That's part of being saved. We know that has to be there. But really, when it boils it down, you have to make a choice whether you're going to receive Him or reject Him. You may see, fact is, nobody would ever get saved if they don't see themselves lost. They'd never get saved if they didn't realize that, didn't see Jesus as a Savior. They never get saved anyhow. And if you move in the other realm of thinking and say everybody that gets that way, then you're moving in Calvinism and saying that if God does that, then they're going to get saved. That leaves responsibility of the individual out of the equation. I want to say to you today, the equation is God does what He does, and it's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's what the Word of God said. And it is His will to save everybody, but not everybody will get saved. And God may use somebody to preach the Word or present the Word, witness the Word, give a tract, and the Holy Spirit may take that and bring conviction to them and show them they're lost and they're going to hell, and that Jesus is the Savior, the only way out. He's the only mediator. He's the only one that can save them. He is the way, the truth, and the life. They may see and realize all of that, but they have to make a choice that they want to receive Him and trust Him as their Lord and Savior. I'd say to every senior, the most important thing in your life is that you know you're saved. That you know you're saved. And any senior sitting on that pew that does not know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're saved and ready to leave out of here, I pray today be the day God will speak to your heart, deal with your life, and say, but not only the seniors, but for everybody here. I want everybody to get saved and born in the family of God. You can't be available for God to use you unless you're saved. God is looking for people to stand in the gap, make up the hedge, and this day and time, we really need some people that know God that'll step up and take their place and be available for God to use. And somebody said the most important ability that God's looking for is availability, being available to God to use for His glory. Let me say to these seniors down here and talk to them just for a minute. Every one of you probably have made some plans. You're anticipating going to college, getting married, or getting a job, or doing, you're anticipating something. You are planning it out already in your mind what you're going to do. Let me challenge you today. Don't make your plans without God being in your plans. Be available for whatever God has for you. It doesn't make a difference what it is. Be available for whatever God has. Sometimes we want to be our thing. We got it planned out. And I was preaching up to school the other night and talking about this, when people get out of high school, they realize that they're out of that environment, and they stepped in a new environment. They come to a milestone in their life and have more freedom, I guess, or more adulthood in your life. Now, people grow up at different ages, so I don't know where you grew up or not, but some of you have. Austin, I'm still debating on you, son, but anyway, I'm kidding. I'm just picking on him. He's pickable. But as you do that, make sure that you make your right choices with God's help. Don't make choices just because it's money involved or somebody, good-looking man, better mention that, or a good-looking girl, or job's got plenty of money coming in, whatever it may be. I don't look at those kind of things. Look at what God wants for your life. These other things will fall in their place, and God will put the right people in your lives, and God will help you as you pray, as you seek God, as you let God do for you what he wants to do. God will help you if you'll let him help you. Be available to God. I remember reading over in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah said to me, saw the Lord high and lifted up, and said that, then he got right with God. The Bible said the angel went over there, one of the serpents got the coal off the altar and touched his lips. He got right with God and got in tune with heaven. He saw the Lord first, then got right. But then here come a question God asked. God said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah responded and said, here am I, send me. It would be good for all of us to get in that availability of God. Here am I, send me. It may be to go witness to somebody across town. It may be to tell somebody about Jesus. It may be to preach the gospel. It may be to be a missionary. It may be to be just a faithful church member and serve God. But God has something for you to do somewhere, and God wants everybody to be witnesses for Christ and tell somebody about Jesus, and we need to be available for God to use. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lead not unto thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, some of my favorite verses I use a lot and jot down if I'm signing something. But I'm like Brother Willard Thomas said about signing Bibles. Sometimes a few folk ask me, sign their Bible. I sign theirs before I give it to them. Brother Willard Thomas said he'd wait to get in a meeting. He'd wait till everybody gone out for lunch. He'd pick up a Bibles off the seat and sign them. I just signed theirs before I ever handed it to them. Amen. So I got that done. But I use these verses of Scripture. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. Now, that's good advice. That comes from the Word of God. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy path. Every senior sitting here, I have high hopes for you. I believe that God Almighty will have his hand on you and use you for his glory and for his honor. I believe that with all my heart. I thank God for these seniors. I appreciate them. I want God to put his hand on. I want God to have his way. I want God to lead them. I want them available to God to you. We need some young folk that's full of God, and we'll let God use them as he wants to use them. Amen and amen. I love every one of them. Of course, I use Bryn. She's my granddaughter, but I don't want her to be Miss America. I don't want her to be Miss somebody out here in the world. I want her to have a testimony of the saving grace of God and a touch of God on her life. And when she lives her life, somebody can see Jesus in her and want to be saved. Amen. That's my heart's desire. My cry to God is to see her live for God. And that's my cry to God for the rest of you, to live for God. I wouldn't be excited about one of you being Miss America, you young lady, and you young men being Mr. Somebody Big. Austin like to cracked up on that. And I'd be more excited about God just putting his hand on them, using them for his glory, letting God do what he wants to do in their life, as young men being sold out for God. I say hallelujah, being available. Amen. Are you available for God to use you? Are you really available? Are you got your little box you've boxed yourself in, and there you are, and we're not going to step out of our comfort zone. We're going to be in our little box and do our little thing instead of being available for God to do whatever he wants to do with us. I say hallelujah. I'm glad many years ago, and God called me to preach, I stepped out of the comfort zone I was in and said, God, I'll do what you want me to do. And I did that by the grace of God, not anything of my own doing. It was God. And here 46 years later, God's let me stand in the pulpit and preach and share the word of God and see my granddaughter graduate from a Christian school, see all this and see all this happening and be in church. And pastor, I say hallelujah. You don't know what God's going to do. Growing up as a little old country boy, didn't have much and didn't. I used to take a bath in a wash tub. Didn't take it except on Saturday night. Rest of the time, boy, I living then wasn't. Rest of the time, wash behind my ears. Mama always made sure of that. And get your toes clean, you know, wash between them, get a toe jam out. Some of you young folk don't even know what toe jam is. Anybody don't know what toe jam is, they had never lived. They all really know what toe jam is. And then on Saturday night, you get in the kitchen. I was in the kitchen where we took a bath, because that's where the stove was. That's where we heated the water. And put that hot water in that tub and get in that. You ever try to get in a galvanized tub? The edge is sharp if you try to sit on it and you're trying to, and then try to take a bath in that thing. I tell you what, but it don't take you long to take a bath in one of those. You hurry up and get out, amen, and get out of there. But anyway, how did I get on that, taking a bath in a galvanized tub? I don't know. That's what God did with me. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to tell you God can take a little thing and God can do something with it if you just let God have it. Just let God have you. And God doesn't call everybody to preach. God doesn't call everybody to do certain things. But God does want you to be available for his use. Now, I know that I got to hurry. I realize that fact, but we'll never do anything if we're not available, amen. Then we need some dependability. Amen. Some dependability. We need some folk that can be depended on. Let me give you a definition of dependability. Trustworthy, reliable, responsible, conscientious. Let me add integrity in there. Let me add, we need some dependable people. And we're living in a day and a time when you don't know who to depend on or what to depend on. And people have been depending on this, depending on that. And you better be careful what you depend on. He's worthy to be depended on. I can tell you that right now. Jesus Christ will never fail you. But we need some people that are dependable. You can depend on what they say. And you can depend on them doing the right thing. And you don't have to watch them every minute of the... Amen. These young folks sitting here today, these teenagers, I think all of them teenagers, unless it's Austin, he may be 25. I'm not sure how long it took him out of... They graduated this year because they didn't want to catch his daddy. Amen. I'm kidding, but Brother Puckett. I'm on a Puckett kick today. But anyway, these teenagers are sitting here, and here they are. And everyone, as far as I know, I would depend upon what you say and what you do. I don't believe I have to sneak around the corner and find out. If you are doing something that you ought not to do, then I pray God's going to get a hold of your heart today and tear you up, rip you apart, and put you on the altar, get you right with God. But not just them, but these two sitting over here too. Amen. Three. Amen. There's Daniel. Four. There's April. Amen. Get all of them in there. There's some sitting behind them. Everyone, Christian, don't you try to get out of it. And the others, all these young folk, I say every one of them need to be dependable. Amen. They need to learn how to be dependable. We're living in a generation that they think that a lie is just a convenient thing in a time of trouble, you know. If you get, and help you out, tell it and go on. But we need some people who can depend on what they say and depend on what they do, that they're going to do right. They're going to live for God. They're going to let God help them. Amen. Be dependable. Did you know that when Satan came before God, and it wasn't the devil brought up Job, it was God that brought up Job. And God brought Job to the devil's attention and said, have you ever considered my servant Job? You know why he said that? Because he knew he could depend on Job.
He knew that Job could be depended on, that he was going to stay true and maintain integrity, and he'd still worship God and give God praise, and that's what he did. I say hallelujah. Now, there's some things Job learned through that, but Job, he did maintain his integrity, and Job did do what was right, and Job did praise God, and Job did go on with his life. You know why? Because he was dependable. Daniel was dependable. And when it come time about praying, he just was dependable to pray. He just kept on praying. When it come time about worshiping that image out there of three Hebrew children, they were dependable to God. Hey, they just stood there and said, we're not going to bow. We're going to worship God. They just stay dependable, amen? And we need some people that are dependable in church. Can depend on being present, depend on the present, depend on what they're going to do, depend on them. Amen. We need some dependable people. And God's looking for those who are dependable. I say today, thank God. Young folk, as you graduate from high school and God's given you abilities, some of you can sing, I know that. Some can do other things and play musical instruments, or you may have a talent in writing. You may have an ability that in mechanics, you may have a certain ability, but your greatest ability is availability to God and being dependable, letting God. But let me wind up with this: spiritual ability. Spiritual ability. That is just depending on God to help you. And it doesn't make any difference what you do. If you don't depend on God to help you, it'll be flat, it'll be empty, it'll be done. Amen. No matter what you do, whether you sing, whether you play, whether you work on a car, or whether you go to college and become a scientist, or whatever it is you do, it'll all be void if God, the Holy Spirit, does not get in and help you. Amen. Whatever you do for God, teach a class, preach. God may call you to preach. God may, not you women now, I'm not talking about y'all. God may call you to be a preacher's wife or a mission, something like that, but he don't call you to preach. Bryn called me up. She went up. Ricky Clark, he invited her up to give her testimony. She went up there and she gave her testimony. And she called me on her way back and said, Lord's called me to preach. I said, well, she's going on foolishness with me. She knew better, but she gave a good testimony. They told me about it. But anyway, I'm saying this today. It's good to be used of God, but her testimony would be void if the Holy Ghost isn't in it. Anybody else's? Brother Lyle stood up over there a while ago and started talking about what God did for him and about last week. And I felt God in it. I felt God in it. And Brother Brock telling about Marley, I felt God. Then another night when Miss McIntosh back there got turned loose and she squalled out, and that was a good squall too, by the way. And then she got testifying, I felt God in it. I believe God's in it, amen. And so whenever God's in that spiritual ability we all need, without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. We need him. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And young folk, as you step out of high school, step out into college, or whatever it is you're going to do, into life and looking forward to whatever life brings you, you remember this, that God, the Holy Spirit, will be your power, will help you if you'll let him. And you can step out with confidence and believe that my God will supply all my need and take care of me. And he'll guide your life, and your life will be what God wants it to be. But everybody here, same way. God speaking in your heart. Some of you here today, you don't know God. Some never been saved. Some saved out of the will of God. And some just not dependent on God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I pray for the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in this invitation. Lord, today as we come and we think about being available to you, think about God using each one of us for your glory. I pray for everybody in this house, these people here today, these people in this house that's not available. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name the Holy Ghost would do a work in their hearts. They would see their need to be available for God to use them in whatever way that he sees fit to use them. I pray for those in the house of God today that their life's not dependable. Lord, they're just not dependable, wishy-washy. I pray the Holy Spirit deal with their heart and they yield their life and they come to God. Say, God, help me be dependable. I want you to be able to depend on me. Then, Father, I realize, Lord, that all of us will be unavailable, undependable, unless the Holy Spirit of God guides our lives and helps us. And so, Lord, for that spiritual ability, we pray, we'd help us. I pray for that divine touch of God be in our lives and every day of our life, every moment of our lives. And, Lord, as we live our life day by day, help us to live it for God. And I pray for the touch of God be upon our lives. And Father, not just for these seniors, but for everybody in this house, will you speak to their hearts, deal with their lives, and touch them that they may respond accordingly. We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want you to think about your life.